Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tess, 1-9, and the last of the Perek. And here we reflect back on what we said in the previous Mishnah, which had said there were certain scenarios, depending on the Shita and the location, where you could rent out your bayit to an idolater. Here the Mishnah limits that. It says, Af makom she'amru lahaskir, even where it's permitted to rent to an idolater, lo laveis dira amru, they never permitted the renting of a home for the sake of living in, a residential place to an idolater, b'pnei shehu machnes l'socho avodah zarah, because then the idolatrous resident will bring his idol into the home which is owned by the Jew and rented to him, and that's forbidden. Shene'emar, as the pasuk says, v'lo savi so'eva el beisecha, you may not bring this abomination into your home. Now, according to some Rishonim, Tosfos, Rosh, this is a doraisa, that one is not allowed to permit a idol to be brought into his home, even if he is not living there, he's just renting it to an idolater. Others learn, like the Ramban and others, I'll call them, that this is really an asmachta, and the meaning of the pasuk on a plain level really has to do with the benefiting from idolatry, and the restriction of idolater bring an idol into a home which you own, but rent them would be an issur derabbanan. But whatever the case is, it's forbidden, and therefore you're not allowed to rent out your home for residential purposes to an idol worshiper. Just sort of counterintuitively, perhaps, you would be allowed to sell it. Where you are allowed to sell it, you still could sell it for residential purposes to the idolater, because while it's your home and you're renting it, you can't allow the idol in. But once you've sold it, it's not your home anymore, and therefore it's not your responsibility to ensure what the new owner does in that home. Now, the Mishnah ends with a final point, which sounds like it's connected, but actually it's not really connected at all, or very only loosely connected. It says, "Uvachol makom, at all events, lo yaskir lo es hamerchatz." You can't rent out your public bath, let's call it like a spa, if you will, as a business to an idolater, really to any non-Jew for that matter. Mipnei shehi nikres al shemo, because literally, this means that the spa that you're renting out, the public bathhouse, is already known to be yours. It's called after your name. So the idea here is that it would be forbidden, strictly forbidden, for a Jew to own a business and then hire people to run it for him on Shabbos. That's forbidden. There are ways that a Jew can go into partnership with a non-Jew, and it would be permitted for that business to operate on Shabbos if the non-Jew is getting the profits and the Shabbos activities and the like. But the assumption of our Mishnah is that in the time of the Mishnah, it was absolutely highly irregular and unlikely that a person who owned a merchatz, like a spa, would have non-Jews be essentially his partner and profit on Shabbos. The way it was always done essentially was you'd hire them as employees. So that means even if you've set up something which is technically halachically permitted, everyone will think, hey, listen, you know, that's Padowitz's, you know, spa, his public bath, and it's running on Shabbos. People are heating up the water there on Shabbos. And of course, they're just employees. They're not sharing profits or getting the profits from Shabbos. And therefore, it's everyone will assume, and therefore it's a Chilul Hashem, that the owner of the spa is violating Shabbos. You know, not so different than today if you have a Starbucks franchise. So the people, the baristas working there on Saturday afternoon are obviously not keeping the profits. They're just employees. And who's ever heard of a Starbucks where the baristas actually get the profits? That's not how it works. So the same kind of idea. The Mishnah is assuming as a davar pashut, as a given, that the way a merchatz would operate in that time and that place is only people working on Shabbos would be employees, and therefore the whole arrangement is forbidden, illegal, and therefore not just a chilul Shabbos, but worse, a chilul Hashem. Therefore it's forbidden at all events. Halach l'maisa, in terms of the second point here, it all depends on what's normal in that time and place. So if it would be normal for people to go into partnership with the Gentile and like sort of let the Gentile keep all the profits on Shabbos and operate the business, it'd be permitted if that's how things operated. So that just depends. As far as the first point, it's more complicated. Certainly in Chutz La'aretz, I'm sure people own apartments and they rent them out, and they're not careful about who they rent them to in terms of what their religious beliefs are. And there's leniencies there, the Ramah brings and so on. Why that would be, if it's because it's people today don't take idolatry that seriously, and if yes, and it's a suffix, and maybe it's only Durabunin at most, like those Shitas and so on, it's really beyond the scope of this. But It is a shaila if you own an apartment that you're renting out, and you know that there's an idolater that wants to take the apartment. You can ask a local Orthodox rabbi how to deal with that situation.